Welcome to the Writer's Weekly Podcast, a forum geared toward the writing enthusiast and those who want to make money from their writing. I'm Brian Whidden, Managing Editor of Writer's Weekly, and I'll be your host along with Angela Hoy, the creator of Writer's Weekly and President and CEO of BookLocker.com, a full-service book publishing company. Whether you want to learn how to become a professional writer, how to find writing gigs, or even publish your own book, then you come to the right place. We'll be discussing all kinds of topics relating to the writing and publishing industries. Don't forget, you can also click over to writersweekly.com. There, you'll find not only thousands of articles about professional writing, you can also find current paying markets and job listings to help you boost your writing career and even your bottom line. But for now, let's get on to this episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. Hello again, and welcome to another episode of the Writers Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, managing editor of Writers Weekly, Brian Whidden, and with me again is, with a secret song, Angela Hoy.
Hello, hello.
Uh-oh.
Oh, did I get you on this one? Hello, hello.
Hello. Hold on, that sounds, the tune sounds... Oh, Beatles.
Very good.
Yeah.
What's the name of the song?
You say goodbye and I say hello, but I don't know what the name of the song is. Is it hello?
Nope.
No? I do not know the name of that song. I know the tune.
Okay.
But I don't know the name of the song.
Anybody, first person to go to writersweekly.com and click on the contact button and send me the title of that song, will win a free book from BookLocker.
There you go. Awesome.
And I'll tell you when we're finished recording what the title is, and you're going to go, oh, man. You singing it in your head?
No, I'm trying to figure out, okay, if we finish recording, then we tell them the name of the song, and then we send the podcast out, and everybody listens to the podcast, and then they get to the
end. No, we're not going to tell them. They have to write to Writers Weekly to get the name of the song.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Okay. Home office. I'm gonna let Angela take that away.
Well, home office this week is actually related to the topic of today's podcast, which is audiobooks. Would you rather pay $199 to create one or $4,000? I mean, the answer's pretty clear to me there, but you know, some people are picky. Anyway, at BookLocker.com, we launched our audiobook program last week. We've been wanting to do this for several years, but the way we do business is we're not going to promote a service even provided by somebody else or offer a service that's going to cost way more money than you'll probably earn back on book sales. So we waited, and so we launched it, and we expected a pretty big turnout because we emailed half of our BookLocker authors just in case, and the other ones are going to get emailed in a couple of days. And so yesterday, Brian walks out of the office and he said, my name is all over the dashboard. Now, the dashboard is our messaging system that we communicate with authors, and we can all see all the messages. And Mason goes,
know how much work I have to do.
Right. Yeah. Mason goes in and puts people's names on the subject line of messages. And it was Brian, because Brian is in charge of our audiobook program. And then this afternoon, Brian came out of the office and he said, I've been working since 5 o'clock this morning and I haven't even made a dent.
Yeah.
Now, you're actually doing really well. You're responding to people really fast. You're getting the audiobooks set up. I mean, some of them that signed up, 2 days ago, their audiobook's already up for sale.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But I mean, like, no sooner, it's like I woke up this morning, I couldn't sleep, and so I just decided to jump on and start working, and I think I was at like 38 messages for me, so I just started banging them out.
Yeah.
You know, just going to answer this one. And some of them, it's no more than a respond to a question. Mm-hmm. Others, like, I also do book trailers, so yeah. somebody's interior files have finally gotten done. It's time to get their book trailer together, and the cover's just gotten done, so I can insert that. So that may take me an hour and a half to get that done. But others are just, you know, they ask a question, I type out an answer, send it. But, and like at like 11 o'clock this morning, I decided to take a break, and I look, and it's still like at 40 messages.
they're coming in faster
than I can answer them. And oh man.
Some authors are coming in and submitting. I don't know why this didn't occur to me when we launched it last week, because you've been researching this for months, and offering this service, affordable audiobook service.
Yeah.
And one author came in, he's got five books with us. I end up all five books at the same time.
Yeah.
So that quintupled your work for that hour.
And then there's having to respond to authors like that with an independent message for each book, because if you're not careful, you start getting confused as to what book they're talking about.
Right, you're putting book title in a different subject, different message with different subject lines, so they don't get mixed up and confused. But you're doing great. You're putting them up really quick, and authors are thrilled. They're thrilled with the quality. So,
yeah. I'm impressed.
I'm impressed too.
For as much as we've discussed AI and our reservations about it, as far as this program is concerned, I'm impressed with it, what Amazon has done.
Yeah. And this isn't the AI we complain about where, you know, authors use it to write a book and then, you know, they get dinged for plagiarism or copyright infringement. These are computer voices, but now, just even the last year, it's come so far. Now, they sound real.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... You know, you and I would know it was an AI voice, but a lot of people wouldn't. I mean, it's just the technology has just come so far, and it's not copying a real person. It's not stealing words from somebody else, so it's a completely different type.
Well, I say we just kind of let Home Office just sort of glide into the episode here, because that's what we're going to talk about. And you know, I mentioned to you the other night, I love documentaries, and I'm a World War II Vietnam buff. I love watching the history of our warfare and the technology involved and the strategies involved and all that stuff. And I mentioned to you the other night that I didn't realize until about halfway through one of these that it was an AI voice.
Wow, yeah.
It sounded so real and so convincing. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that gave it away was I knew the name of a location that it was talking about a major battle, and it mispronounced it, and it paused at the wrong point.
Oh, okay.
And it was an obvious pause at the wrong point. And I'm like, that's not a human being. That's actually AI doing this. But it did such a good job. I got halfway through that documentary before I realized it.
And it was a great documentary.
And it was a good documentary. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly, I'm pretty sure a human had to, you know, come up with a script, but then again, who knows?
Now, for people that don't know, Brian cooks dinner every night because I'm really bad at it. Can't tell you how many times I volunteered to cook dinner and we've had to throw it away and order something. Yeah. But Brian watches or listens to documentaries while he's cooking.
Yeah. And so what Amazon has done is it has produced an AI voice system. Mm-hmm. It does not create a book for you. It does not develop content. All it does is it takes the text from your ebook and it reads it. That's it. That's all it does.
And as of this recording, you have to be invited to be part of Amazon's new program, and we did get invited.
And we got the
about
invite
a month or so ago, and that's when you started making all this happen. So
and we've been talking for a couple of years about this, you know, about whether or not audiobooks would work for us, and every time we kind of look into it we get scared because of the cost.
I just didn't feel good promoting something that costs thousands of dollars, wondering, well, how many copies that audiobook is going to sell. I mean, that's just not the way we do business.
And even it was funny, not long after we started this podcast, and we had several people like, wow. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and toot my horn, but people apparently liked my voice.
Oh, you have a radio voice.
And
sure.
So I kind of thought, well, hey, because I never thought that I had a great voice. So, you know, it was not something that I had pursued.
Well, you've never actually sat down and recorded your own voice and listened to it before. But yeah, we get comments all the time. Wow. Brian's a professional voice actor. Yeah.
And so with that little extra bit of confidence, I said, well, hey, maybe I can do audiobooks for the company, and we can sell that. And then I started looking into what it takes to do that.
Oh, and we're going to get into that today.
Yeah.
You cannot imagine how
I do not
technical
have the time.
It is, yeah. how time consuming, but yeah, we'll get into that.
You know, I'll talk about some other stuff once we're in that section there.
Okay.
Yeah, but almost on average, I guess, and you're talking about a book that's around, I guess, 300 pages, regular space, all this stuff. Basically, you're looking at roughly $4,000 to have an audiobook read by somebody and uploaded and all that. Do you want to pay $4,000 for that, or do you want to pay
$199?
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, right.
Now, you know, again, for $4,000, yep, you're gonna get a human being who's gonna, you know, fluctuate their voice just right and give you exactly the emotion
you hope.
Well, I'm sure you can put some input in there, but how many copies of your ebook or your audiobook would you have to sell to get that money back?
Right,
that's a lot of books.
Yeah.
That's the question, is how much do you want to spend to do this? And $199 is what we felt was a very fair set price.
Yeah.
What do you have to say about that?
Tell you what, I would never pay $4,000. And, you know, sometimes it's upward of $7,000. And we break down some prices in a little bit. We will in a little bit.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, for my own book, I would just keep it as a print book. Also, you know, it explains why some of the audiobooks cost so much.
Yeah.
Because the production fees cost so much. And well, it's not just narrating, it's editing.
And you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
And in fact, reading the book is about one third of the time that you take to make an audiobook. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Just the other night, about a week ago, we were all sitting on the porch with the boys, and you suddenly realized we were missing a niche audience out there.
Yeah. Lots of young people now only listen to audiobooks. I mean, it's, you know, people that work desk jobs, you know, they don't want to come home and keep using those tired eyeballs to read a print book or even read an ebook. I'm the same way. Once I turn my computer off, I'll be happy to watch videos or listen to an audiobook or a podcast. I don't want to read anymore. It's what's the word for screen?
Screen fatigue.
Yeah.
And I'm a podcast nut.
Yeah.
Gosh, I got all kinds of stuff on my phone that I like to listen to. Yeah.
He really likes the book Bigfoot. What's it called?
Sasquatch Chronicles. That's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a really
Sasquatch
good one.
Chronicles. I got one called The Confessionals, and that's all about paranormal stuff like that.
Yeah, cool.
But then again, I have documentaries. I got history stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we've got this whole generation now of people that just don't like to read books or have never gotten into. Young people mainly just don't want to read books. Our son is 23. And he never reads print books or ebooks. He works as a welder, and he wears ear pods, and he buys and listens to audiobooks all day long underneath his welding hood. And he spends a lot of money on audiobooks, never buys print books. And we wanted to make our author's books available to that market, because that is a growing market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
we got a lot of ADD people in this country.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that as a derogatory thing.
Yeah.
I'm one of them. I have a lot of trouble just sitting down and reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
I like to do stuff, but that gives me the opportunity to do stuff while still learning things,
right,
or listening to something that I find really interesting. So I'll be out and working on our garden or messing with the chickens or in our woods working on my hunting areas, and I can be listening to something I've been interested in without having to, oh man, I got to sit down for a couple hours now and read a book about it. You know,
because you and I both get screen fatigue.
Yeah.
Like the whole rest of the country. And so you get to be active and learn at the same time. You know, reading while driving is illegal. So I've heard, isn't that distracted driving? You know, you can't read a book or an ebook driving down the freeway, but you can listen to an audiobook.
Exactly.
And not have to worry about, you know, hearing a siren behind you. And, you know, people listen to audiobooks, you know, at the gym, you know, when they're running errands, even cooking dinner, you know. So yeah, that's the audience we wanted to go after. And we've wanted it to do it for so long, but we had to wait until there was an affordable, high quality option.
Yeah. And it's so weird because I'm 55 years old. How many years of my life when I was doing something or if I was working out or if I was working on something, I'd be piping music into my ears. But now,
right.
Now it's like I would actually prefer listening to something interesting that somebody's talking about. Yeah.
And not a song that you've memorized, you know,
30
years
ago. I've heard a thousand times.
From like the Beatles.
Exactly.
Hello, hello.
So, okay, first and foremost, well, I mean, we're already into it, but let's talk a little bit about the prices for traditional audiobook production and what all goes into that.
Well, first, everybody needs to sit down. And if you're in your car, you're already sitting and listening to this, that's okay. Yeah, that one lady wrote to me, she listens to our podcast on the way home from work every day.
That's cool.
Yeah. For an audiobook narrator, you can expect to pay up to $400 per finished hour. Mm-hmm. Sometimes more. Some top-tier audiobook narrators charge upwards of $1,500 per hour. Some don't charge by the finish hour. They charge by studio hour. So, I mean, imagine that. That means from the minute they arrive till the minute they leave and all the ums and the oopses and, you know, the coughs and everything that they got to redo. Don't even get me started on the editing process, which is very technical. That's you go in with a computer and you manually edit the voice file.
Well, let's take this spot right here for me to explain a little something. The podcast you are listening right now is, and at the point that I'm recording, I don't know how long it's going to be, but it may be up to about an hour. We try to keep things, you know, just under an hour or a little more than an hour. For that hour of podcast that you're going to listen to, I'm going to spend three more hours beside the recording part to get it just right. I go, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go upstairs in my office and I'm going to listen to this whole thing again. And I'm going to be cutting out every time one of us forgets a word and has to sit there and think about it.
While the other one looks at them like they've lost their head.
Exactly. or every time, I mean, I don't get every single one of them, but every time one of us is like, and yeah. Well, you know, you know, all those get edited out. Mm-hmm. And then Angie listens to it. And then Angie might tell me that, you know, she said something stupid she wants taken out of there.
4 minutes and 10 seconds. The pause is too long. Hey, yeah, I sneeze. Yeah. Take out my sneeze at 5 minutes
Angie
and 23
is
seconds.
A 5 second pause is too long. It's like, trust me, nobody cares. But
hey,
anyway.
I'm a perfectionist.
And then once I've edited it down to what she thinks she wants to hear, she will listen to it yet again. And I will listen to it yet again to make sure that we, and along with cutting those things out, I'm making sure that the sound levels are correct. When we first record this, it's actually pretty quiet because we have microphones that cut out all kinds of noise. If I just rock back a little bit, it gets very, very quiet. But if I get just about 3 inches closer to the microphone, you hear me very well. So we
have to manually tweak those.
I have to get in there and balance out all those sounds because, if I just turn my head a little bit, it gets a lot quieter.
And
so,
the same.
And it's the
similar.
You have to do the same thing for an audiobook.
Right. So, so think about that. So we have a 1 hour podcast. Yeah. And we record it for probably an hour and 15 minutes. And then you spend 3 hours editing it. And then I listen to it. The narration is a small part of it.
Yeah, exactly.
The long haul is the editing.
And
so
that's why you're going to pay a professional a lot of money to do this. Because they're not just sitting and reading your book. They're going to make mistakes. They're not perfect.
And so you're thinking, an hour, maybe my book will only be 2 hours in the long run. No, it won't.
Yeah.
Your book is Blue Lives Matter, The Heart Behind the Badge. Mm-hmm. Your book is available as an audiobook through our system on Amazon.
I appreciate
Amazon.
Your shameless plug just about every episode.
Really good at it. So yours is done. You picked the, Southern Gentleman voice?
I did a Southern American voice.
Yeah. And our authors choose from a variety of voices.
Yeah, Amazon offers all kinds of voices. You can get American voices, British voices, Australian voices. Mm-hmm. They don't have a large range of the Southern American voices. Apparently, the people in Silicon Valley think that we down here in the South only have so many dialects. But,
well, I can tell you there's a lot around here, around these parts. Yeah,
absolutely.
So your book is, how long is your book, the audiobook?
When I created my audiobook, the listening time was 10 hours, 22 minutes.
Okay, so I checked, and your book is 55 chapters, and it's a total of 370 pages. I want to start by explaining to authors that authors no longer need ACX. That's just one of the audiobook retailers owned by Amazon. We list ours on Audible, which is also on Amazon, and also through Alexa. I mean, we don't have an Alexa. I didn't know you could just tell Alexa, hey, buy this book, download this audiobook for me, you know, for whatever amount of money.
Now, a little bit later, I will explain what ACX is and what it does.
Yeah. Put on your nerd hats, everybody. Wow, it's pretty technical. For ACX, if you hired a professional narrator and editor, that person for your book, Brian, would need to create 55 different files because every chapter has to be a different file. So think about that. They require each chapter to be uploaded separately, which is, in my opinion, is ridiculous. You would think the technology at that one would be a little more user-friendly, but it's not. Now, if your audiobook is around 10 hours long, you're thinking just 10 hours of narration, right? But that's not how it works. For anyone looking at getting into the audiobook narration service industry, not me, don't let that number fool you. That service takes a lot longer to perform than the hours that are heard in the final audiobook,
which we just discussed. We just explained
four or five times
what it takes just to come up with a good hour and 10 minutes of audio. Yeah.
And then with, you know, regards to editing, narrators need to start and stop. Yeah. You know, they have to go to the bathroom once in a while, too. Somebody might ring their doorbell. Their phone might ring. It's just you never know. So they're not going to start reading and not stop reading until the book is finished. That's not how it works. Even if that person...
Not to mention, they have to protect their voice.
Yeah.
So they can't read 4 or 5 hours at a time.
Oh,
they can read 2 to 3 hours, maybe.
Maybe, yeah.
And then they have to stop and rest for the day, you know, stop reading for the day and let their voice recover to start again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they will wind up all hoarse and your book will sound crappy.
Well, you know, I used to sing at our church and I can tell you after standing up there and singing 4 songs, you know, with the rest of the choir, you know, singing 4 songs, my throat would start to hurt.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's only so much you can, I have no problem talking, but but the singing would really rip apart my throat.
Yeah.
So even if that person could get your book done in 10 hours, it would still cost you around $4,000. I read online up to $7,000 on some books. Thousands and thousands more if you require different voices throughout the book and everything.
Yep.
And then you add in the editing process.
Yeah. And again, some of your... it's going to depend on how that person charges. Some of them are going to charge you by the finished... I think it's the finished hour.
Finished hour, yeah.
And others will charge you for just every hour that they have to.
Yes,
they have to
studio
work.
Time.
Studio time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now some people will actually hire a production company to do their audiobook, which means now you also have a producer sitting at a computer watching all the sound as it's being read, and he may, you know, that person now has a say in things and may stop the reader, read that again, but put more stress on this syllable, or, you know, say it in more of this tone or that tone. Okay, that's somebody else you got to pay.
Right.
That's exactly. Somebody else now that needs a paycheck to get your audiobook out.
And so, again, while we're you know, watching this tidal wave of money pour out of everybody's pockets for this, again, how many audiobooks do you have to sell to pay for that? Mm-hmm. Now, if you're Stephen King, you know, that's probably worth it.
Sure.
But new authors that don't have a following, it's a serious risk that you really need to consider taking. In fact, if I was a new author, I'm not a new author, but I would put out the audiobook through BookLocker for $199. And if it really took off and I earned enough money to upgrade to hiring professionals to do this for me, then I think it would be worth it. But at first, I'd want to see if there's actually a market for the book.
Yeah. And some of our authors have asked us about, well, why don't I just do my own book? I'll read my own book. And we've even had somebody that said that they have access to a recording studio. Why don't I just read my, it sounds easy.
Yeah.
And I had to do a little bit of research. Now, I already had my own experience with my own podcast here about how long, so I kind of had an idea, but I wanted to see, okay, how much different is audiobook, when it comes to the time it takes. Now, according to the source,
Can you pronounce that word?
I can't. So I looked at two different places, and I'm going to confess here. I got on Google and I went to Google's AI and I said, how long does it take to do a, you know, record an audiobook? And I took its sources and went to those sources and then read what. So you can go anywhere from a 2-to-1 ratio to come up with a 1 hour work product. In other words, for every 1 hour of production recording, you need 2 hours of work. And that's coming from a website called Backstage.com. Now, Backstage.com, though, is basically about all kinds of entertainment.
Yeah.
So this was kind of a generalized article about recording and audiobooks. However, CanaretAudiobooks.com.
That's the one I couldn't figure out how to pronounce.
They are all about audiobooks and professional audiobooks. And they say that it can take up to 10 to 20 hours of work for 1 hour of product.
Now, do the math on that.
Big. And so if that was my full-time job to do my book, it would take an average of 3.5 weeks to
working
do just
full-time.
Full-time, all day, which, again, you can't do if you're reading a book.
Yeah.
But it might be two and a half hours of reading and then all that time of editing to try to get that.
Right.
And it would be about 3.5 weeks just to do one audiobook.
And that explains why professional narrators are so expensive.
They make some
good
money.
You're paying them for, you know, basically working full-time for a month on your book. Yeah.
That's right.
Yep.
So, Angela, what are the types of audiobook productions out there?
Well, as you already mentioned, there's a DIY one. You do it yourself. However, what authors who want to read their own books don't understand, you need quality recording equipment. When we started this podcast, we invested a hefty chunk of change in... Now, y'all can't see us, okay? So we're both sitting across from each other at a table. We both have professional microphones with stands.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian's got his laptop here. And there's about, 400 cords...
Yep.
There's cords everywhere. There's this red box with a bunch of things. I don't even know what that is.
Microphones go through what's called an interface.
Is that the interface?
Yes,
the
interface.
Okay, all right.
That's what keeps our voices from sounding like we're just talking into our computer microphone.
And we had to put soundproofing things on the walls.
And we have to put, had to put foam on the walls to make sure that the sound didn't bounce back and forth and make all kinds of reverb and crazy echoes and stuff like that.
And you had to invest in and learn editing software.
So
not only that, but you had to learn all about the recording process. You just tell me to sit down, stick a microphone in my face, I don't have to do anything, I just have to talk. But you spend a lot of time on this stuff, but it's helped a lot of people. We get a lot of messages from people that they love the podcast. So all that equipment ain't cheap. You also need a room that is soundproof or has sound absorbing. What is that? Is that what we have? Sound absorbing?
Sound absorbing material. So that's what this foam is for.
Okay,
so that when we're in here talking, if we didn't have this, our voices would be bouncing off the walls and coming back to the microphones.
Okay.
And now you're going to get kind of that echoey, that hollow sound.
Right.
But with the foam on the walls, that absorbs the sound and keeps it from reflecting back towards the microphones.
I got a question.
Yeah.
I got a housewife question. How are those stuck to the wall?
Oh, those are little adhesive dots that come off without peeling off the paint.
That's what I was just thinking about.
Yes, they're specifically made to come off nice and easy.
Because there's a lot in here. There's a
lot of
foam.
So said the packaging.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, how many people would know that?
Y'all keep supporting our podcast so that I don't ever have to take the foam off my walls and find out that I'm tearing paint off, please. Tell your friends.
Okay, so you need a soundproof or sound absorbing walls or foam, whatever.
That's right.
So the costs are already adding up. So we're talking, this is beyond the, all the work you're going to have to do. Or you could rent out a sound studio, but they're going to rent it to you by the hour, by the day. And remember, you might spend, if you're a beginner, it's probably going to take you 3-4 times as long as a professional. Mm-hmm. Think how many dozens of hours you're going to have to be in that studio.
Well, not to mention if it's a rented studio, other people are renting it too. So you're only going to get so many hours before you got to leave.
Right.
And then,
You'll need to go through a really steep learning curve because, as we just discussed, the process is technical and very time consuming. Unfortunately, of all the author-narrated audiobooks I have received over the past couple of years, I can tell you that the quality on all of them was terrible. And if you're one of our authors who submitted your homemade DIY audiobook to me, I'm sorry that we refused to put it on the market because if we just, you know, quality.
Yeah.
Our reputation is our number one asset at Book Locker, and we will not put, garbage on the market. We just won't do it. You know, there's a lot of ums in there. One sounded like it was recording in an echo chamber, which you just explained before. Another one wasn't edited at all. One author had a really raspy voice that was difficult to hear. One author recorded his own, and he actually wanted... He doesn't like me much anymore. he wanted to ask us to have our authors hire him.
Oh, boy.
To be an audiobook narrator, and I listened to what he sent me.
Mm-hmm.
It was awful.
Wow.
It sounded so bad, and I asked him... Well, tell me about your studio. And he said, well, I just put this big box around my desk.
Mm-hmm.
That didn't work.
A big box around your desk.
A big, big cardboard box.
Yeah.
Really big one. So, yeah.
I'm going to just for if you want a little sample of reading a story and having to put some feeling into it and whatnot, check out episode 9. It's How to Win Writing Contest. we had our two winning 24-hour short story contests, and I read them to background music and sound effects. But the hardest part about that was I really had to sit up straight and put real feeling into these things. And I didn't get it right in one take on either of them. I had to do them several times. It takes a lot of work not to sound like you're bored out of your skull trying to read something. And I'm not saying these were boring. These were exciting stories. I like the stories. But you really have to work to put some emphasis and emotion into the things you're reading. And if you're going on hours and hours and hours trying to do that, that's a real skill that few people have.
Yeah, and honestly, for audiobooks, you know, the way that we're doing ours is, you know, all that extra... effort really doesn't make a big difference to the listener. They just want to hear the story, you know?
I know what you're saying, but
yeah.
it's easy to catch yourself just kind of reading the words again.
Is that like when I
just like, you know,
is that like when I get in the Jeep and I drive somewhere and can't remember how I got there because I wasn't paying attention?
Could be.
Yeah. Okay. By the way, that one episode, which episode was it? With the contest?
Episode 9.
Episode.
Yeah.
The one thing I've never forgotten is the squeaky wagon. I don't know where you found that sound, but it was great. That made the whole thing. It was great. Oh, where were we?
Well, so if you don't want to do it yourself, you can pay a narrator by the hour, but we've already talked a little bit about this. Why don't you give us some more details?
Again, creating audiobooks in that fashion can cost authors several thousand dollars. Entry-level narrators earn, on average, $200 per finished hour. You know, entry-level narrators who might be using a cardboard box, I just really wouldn't recommend that. I would definitely go with experienced ones. They charge $250 to $500 per finished hour.
Yeah.
Highly experienced ones. $1,000 per finished hour. Remember, the really, really popular ones are $1,500 per hour. And, you know, it's kind of scary because there's so much involved. And if you don't read a narrator's contract and find out if there's editing in there and exactly what you're paying for, you could end up getting upsold to the tune of thousands and thousands. And by that point, you're so far into it that you'll just keep paying just to get that audiobook finished. And I also wouldn't doubt if some of the foreign scammers are getting in on audiobooks now, too. And then you're going to get
probably
a really, really poor product for way too much money.
If you get a product at all.
If you get a product at all, yeah. So, you know, if it costs $4,000 to create your audiobook, again, that's like middle of the road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you really think enough copies of your audiobook are going to sell to make that worthwhile investment? And if you're an unknown author, probably not.
Yeah. I wanted to take a minute. And we'll keep on with this episode, but I wanted to remind everybody when you're listening on YouTube, There's a subscribe button and also a like button. If you'll click those buttons, clicking the subscribe button will get you notified every time we upload a new episode. And if you click that like button, that helps boost our rating in YouTube's algorithm. Also on the regular podcast platforms like Apple, iHeart, Spotify, there is a place to give us a 5-star rating if you like what you're hearing. And again, that will help get this podcast in front of more people so that they can click on it and listen. Also, if you're in any writing groups online, social media, anything like that, mention the podcast. Send people to us because that helps us out a lot, just getting this out more and more and more.
It also helps writers and authors because we do provide a lot of good information. Episodes 1, 2, and 10 are our most popular so far. 1 and 2 are about the online scam consortium, and those are worth a read. And the more that we can share that with authors, the fewer authors are going to be spending thousands sending money to Pakistan and getting nothing back.
Yeah, some of what we do here is about us, and we get a little laugh or just some information. But a lot of the information we're giving you are things that either it's going to help you avoid problems like our scammer reports, or it's going to give you information that you can actually duplicate and become successful. I mean, that's why we bring on some of these authors who have done so well to tell us how they are marketing things or how they do their writing, so that if you can copy what they're saying, you're going to find some more success than what you already have too.
Also,
so this is to help our audience.
Yeah, and also at writersweekly.com/podcast, Brian has also made every single episode. You just click an arrow right on writersweekly.com on that page, and you can listen. You don't have to go to a different place.
That's right. So if you're not sure how to listen to a podcast on a phone, and you don't want to have to sit on YouTube, but if you go to writersweekly.com, go to our podcast list, click on any episode, and now we actually have the audio player right there on Writers Weekly. You can sit and listen to that episode on your computer while you do other stuff.
Yep, just click an arrow.
So just one more place. Oh, and that also allows you to simply scroll right down to the bottom of that page. If you have a comment, a question, anything about that episode, or anything at all, you can just bang it out right there in that comment section, and we'll see it whenever we log on to Writers Weekly on the back end, and we're working on stuff, and we'll see that there's a comment.
And you don't need to log in. You can post it anonymously
free.
If you
absolutely
want.
Absolutely free.
Go to the very bottom of the page, there's a big comments box. Yep.
And you don't have to identify yourself or anything. So, yeah, we'd love to hear some feedback because, honestly, I mean, we're getting up to, we're close to 20 episodes, and it's like we're having to start digging around. It's like, okay, what are we going to do next? What are we going to look at,
I've been doing
an episode? And I would love to hear from people what you would like to hear about.
I've been getting on Facebook and asking people, okay, send us some ideas. What do you want to hear about? What do you want us to teach you? And, I got 2 responses today. I asked people, if you are a victim of a publishing scam and you'd like to be on our podcast, we'd like to interview you. And I got 2 emails. One of them is an author who eventually moved to BookLocker, and she went on and on about how we saved her. The first one, this woman lost a staggering amount of money. So in the next episode or two, we're gonna line those
and
up.
And I'm looking forward to it. I want people to hear, not from us. Mm-hmm. I want them to hear from the real people that went through this.
Yeah.
And then we can walk them through their story so that you can understand how this stuff works, how these people operate, and how you can avoid this
and
stuff.
And how authors just get lured into being victims.
Yeah.
And they just don't even know until they look back, oh my gosh, I can't believe I spent that amount of money.
Yeah.
So.
All right, so back to audiobooks.
I have a question for you.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
What's the difference between listing an audiobook directly on Amazon's Audible offering versus using ACX?
Okay, so if you're going to go with the AI voice on Amazon, the first thing you must have is an ebook.
An EPUB file.
An EPUB file,
which is the ebooks.
I don't think anybody's doing Mobi anymore.
No,
but,
I don't think
but
so either. But
if you do, if you got an old ebook that's in Mobi format, then it needs to be changed to EPUB. But anyway,
which we can at BookLocker,
which we can
do that. And you don't have to be a current BookLocker author to use our service. You can come in and sign up, and we'll be happy to work with you too. If your book is not yet in ebook format, We'll be happy to do that. It's going to cost you a little extra, but we'll be happy to do that for you as well. And of course, we offer paperbacks and hardcovers as well.
There you go.
Yeah.
So once you have an ebook in Amazon's system, and all of our ebooks we upload through our KDP account for our authors, and then I go in and I select your ebook, and then there's a series of things I have to do to tell Amazon, okay, you know, I want this ebook changed into an audiobook. Before we do that, I send you a message saying, okay, do you want a British sounding voice, an American sounding voice, a Southern American sounding voice, or Australian voice? You tell me which one you want, and then I send you a bunch of samples of those voices. They're men, they're women, they're black, they're white, they're this, they're that, you know, they're different, and you pick what you want your book to sound like. Mm-hmm. And then once you tell me what you want to sound like, I go in there and I dig around all their voices and find that voice. They're numbered, so, so I identify the voice that you wanted, and then I go ahead and click go, and it starts creating that audiobook. And then once they've created the audiobook and they tell me that that file is ready, I will go into the audio editing section that they offer. It's software, but it's right there on the Amazon site, and I'll listen to a little bit of your book to make sure that everything's come out right. Mm-hmm. After that, it is possible for you to ask me to make some changes if at any point that AI voice, and I have not yet had one person come to me with this problem.
And you've put up several audiobooks.
I've lost count.
We sent the email to half of our authors. Was that Thursday or Friday?
I think Thursday or Friday.
Yeah. It was Friday. However, we did a soft launch of the program a couple weeks ago. And we first individually contacted every author. We were able to search through our system, mm-hmm. our author messaging system, who had ever used the word audiobook in a message to us.
Oh, yeah.
Allie made a list of all those. She emailed, through their author accounts, contacted each of them, and several of them signed up. Almost all of them, I think.
Yeah.
And so those were our guinea pigs. And then once Brian got the system down pat, then Friday we contacted our authors, and then ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Boom.
So what no one yet has asked me to do is go in and change the pronunciation of any particular word.
Yeah.
Again, it's AI. It's run by a computer. It's ones and zeros.
Yeah.
So they don't, I'm expecting at some point we're going to find it's somewhere where it does it's going to read a word wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get your file, that audiobook, and you listen to it and you say, wait a minute, it pronounced, whatever wrong. I can go in then and tell the AI how to pronounce that word.
And you have to do it phonetically.
Correct? I have to kind of do it phonetically. Yeah. I have to type it out and explain to this thing.
It's pretty cool you're able to do that, though. And still it's
and then
way
it will change.
Faster than narrating
and a book. I played around with some of the words in my book and I made it pronounce things differently. And so that's one thing. I can also, if you have a certain area of the book that you want read a little faster or a little slower, I can do that. Mm-hmm. So there are little tweaks here and there. And what I think is going to happen is over time, you're going to see more things that you can edit
or adjust
as Amazon improves this system.
And it took you had to go through a learning curve and learn how to do all this. And rather than authors trying, again, you have to be invited to the program, at least for now, you have to be invited to participate in the program, and BookLocker was invited. And, if you don't have a ton of extra time on your hands to learn their editing program and everything and all that Brian just talked about, go to BookLocker and let Brian work on your book.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the system that we're using now to create our audiobooks.
Right.
The other option for creating your audiobook is to go through create it yourself or have a professional do it. And then you have to go through an organization called ACX.
That's also owned by Amazon.
Yeah,
I looked it up.
Is it owned by Amazon? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I wasn't aware of that. I thought they were an independent thing that basically dealt with Amazon.
No, I specifically Googled that today.
ACX is the Audiobook Creation Exchange, and it's essentially a platform for creating, publishing, and selling audiobooks primarily through Audible, Amazon, and iTunes.
Now, Amazon even for audiobooks, far outsells every other.
Sure. Yeah.
And of course, Amazon owns Audible and ACX. We sell ebooks through iTunes. Amazon sells way more ebooks than, thousands more per month than iTunes does of our books. Yeah.
Now, to give you an idea of it, like how this works, so when we create one of these episodes of the podcast, and it's all edited, it's the way I want it to be, I go to a website called Buzzsprout, and I upload my audio file to this website, and I get to type in a description and all this stuff. And it then creates the podcast file, audio file, and then it sends all that data, that metadata, out to all the big podcast channels out there, or not channels, but platforms out there. So that's how we get our podcast, and a lot of podcasters do, and there are several websites that do this, but basically that's how you get a podcast out to Apple, to iHeart, to Spotify, to several of these other places. The only place that it doesn't go is YouTube. I got to create a whole separate audio file, turn it into a video, load it up. Okay, so ACX basically does that.
It's basically an audiobook distributor.
It is. Yeah, you're gonna record your audiobook, and then you're gonna upload your stuff to them, and then they take it from there. They're the ones that create the quote-unquote audiobook files from your sound files and then get it out to Amazon, iTunes, Audible.
Right.
And Audible is Amazon. So.
Right. So they're an audiobook distributor, but they only distribute to Amazon, Audible, and Apple. And if you go through our system, it still gets put on Amazon and Audible. And that's where almost all the audiobooks are sold anyway.
Based on our sales stats that I've seen over the years, Apple doesn't even sell that many ebooks.
No, they don't.
As much as nearly anywhere close to what Amazon
literally
sells.
Literally, so, Amazon sells thousands of our ebooks every month, and Apple just maybe.
You're just
a
as well
hundred.
Just yeah. going to Amazon. They're the behemoth.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And the way the program that we got invited to join at Amazon, you'd upload one file. You don't have to upload one file for every chapter.
All you do is is upload your whole ebook.
Ridiculous.
Now, in case that sounds simple enough for you, ACX also has a numerous audio submission requirements for quality assurance.
Oh, this sounds like fun. And I'm going to go to the bathroom while you read this.
If your recordings don't meet these requirements, your book's going to get rejected. So here's some examples of their requirements. I went to their website and wrote some of these down. So your audio sound must be consistent. Now, remember, if you have, say, a 10 chap, well, what's average? 10, 15 chapters for a book?
Let's just go with 15.
15 chapter book. Every one of those chapters has to be an individual audio file, right? The sound must be consistent. Your audiobook must be consistent in sound and formatting. This includes audio levels, tone, noise level, spacing, and pronunciation.
Is everybody taking notes? This is a long list.
Consistent audio makes for better. Forget it. Okay. So basically, over those hours and hours and hours and hours and hours that you're going to be trying to record your book, you have to make sure it sounds the same all the way through.
Now, I do want you to read these technical requirements.
There are some technical requirements. Your volume throughout that entire book has to stay between negative 23 decibels and negative 18 decibels RMS. RMS means root mean square, and it's a way to measure volume. All right. Now, if you don't know what that means, that's okay. You can Google it. Okay. Your peak levels must be below negative 3 decibels RMS. Okay. Your peak levels is how loud your audio files can get. So if I cough. That just made a big, gigantic, squiggly line on the Audacity program here that I'm using to record this, and I'm going to have to go in and shrink that down now to make sure.
Oh, no, I would leave it way up there.
Well, it's going to blast
my ears.
Yeah.
I've got headphones on. My ears are ringing here. I didn't expect that. That was hilarious.
So, if you laugh or cough or get too close to the microphone, your volume levels might get too high on there. Your noise floor has to be less than negative 60 decibels RMS. Your noise floor is the distance between the lowest sound that you can record and the environmental noise that can come into your microphone. Google it. And your files that you record have to be encoded to a constant bit rate of 192 kilobytes per second. Yeah. Okay. Stop. Leave me alone. All right. Hey,
I feel like I just read a page out of an algebra book. I have no idea what any of that meant whatsoever, and I bet a lot of people don't.
Yeah, so if you think you're just going to sit down with your book in front of a microphone and read it,
and then
send it on up there, and it's going to turn into an audiobook. No, there's a lot of stuff that goes in between your reading it and them accepting it.
Can you imagine hiring a narrator who's not an experienced narrator and paying them all that money and then uploading your files to ACX and getting rejected?
Man. Yeah. Well, I know on Audacity, because I have spent hours and hours and hours and hours on YouTube watching Audacity videos on how to use this sound program that we use for the podcast. And I get better and better every time I watch one of these videos. You know, every time I see something I don't know, I go pull up a video and I start learning it.
Oh, well, everybody can go back and listen to one of the most popular episodes, episode one, and you can hear the difference.
Well, I'll tell you about episode one. We actually had these expensive microphones and the interface and everything. We did an entire episode one of our most important episodes.
Yeah.
Well, you'll notice that episode sounds a lot different than all our other episodes, because although we were sitting here talking into our microphones and we could hear what we were saying through our headphones and it sounded beautiful, it sounded really great, there was one little setup button that I didn't click properly on the recording software.
Oops.
And instead of recording these microphones, it was recording my computer microphone, the built-in one that sounds like crap.
And episode two was when that ghost talked in that we didn't hear until after we listened to the recording.
Was that two or one?
Was that episode or two? I think it was the first one. Okay, one of those.
Anyway, yeah.
And that clearly didn't have a problem getting through the microphone.
Yeah.
Still creepy.
Well, anyway, so that's some of ACX's requirements, and there's a lot of them, and we'll put a link up if you want to look at what those requirements are. So they got a whole big web page full of them.
Writersweekly.com/podcast under the AC episodes where we put all the links. Okay, so how is BookLocker able to bypass ACX altogether?
Okay, well, again, we were invited to participate in Amazon's new audiobook with virtual voice program. In case you're a little shy of the term virtual voice, come to our website. And Angie, where's that going
to
be?
I will put a link to that under this episode.
Okay, we've actually linked to a couple of samples of these voices.
We put up a page explaining the service, the price, where you can click to listen to some samples.
Yeah.
And the things that we were talking about
somewhere
in this episode.
You've put a link where people can actually go and listen to part of my book, read by a Southern American voice. And I was impressed.
The long link is newsletter.booklocker.com/audiobooks.
Okay.
We will put that link under this episode, writersweekly.com/podcast.
So all you got click on it. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
So, since we already have all these ebooks on our Amazon account, because we are a publisher, we are able to just now simply go and find which, you know, ebook we want to turn into an audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be based on an author coming to us and paying the $1.99 and saying, hey, and then give me an audiobook.
You go back and forth a couple conversations. They choose the voice, and you got to go set it all up and everything. I mean, it's not just a one-click button service.
No.
But it can be done in a very short period of time versus you know, the 3.5 weeks it takes to record.
But this way, we completely bypass ACX and all of those requirements that you have to go through. All the money it would take to pay somebody to do this, and again, I'm really impressed with the voices, you know, and this is coming from I don't have the episodes up in front of me, but we did an episode on AI, and it almost sounds like Angie and I just absolutely hate AI and we don't want anything to do with it. But that's not true.
We just
want people to be very careful with how they use AI and what you do with it. And since this AI program doesn't create anything, it doesn't write you a story.
It doesn't steal from other sources.
Exactly. Yeah. All it's doing is reading what you wrote and that we turned into an ebook for you.
Yeah.
And therefore, since Amazon's the one basically recording it, they're recording it at all the right levels. They're making sure that their noise floor is correct and right. that their peak levels are right and all this, you know, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're not a current BookLocker author right now, you need to first have BookLocker publish an EPUB version of your book. EPUB is a name of a file. It's a type of file.
Yeah, it's an ebook file.
Basically, you take a book and you HTML the hell out of it, and it becomes an ebook, and that is an EPUB file.
And we use we have a couple people that work on our EPUB files. They mm-hmm. they take the final print file. They convert it to EPUB. They check all of it. It's all hands-on. We do not use an automated software program for that.
Too many mistakes.
Well, yeah, there's not one automated system. It doesn't spin out tons of mistakes. So we have two folks that are great at their jobs. And then so we would put your ebook up for you. Can also, of course, have us publish your paperback or hardcover.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And we also put PDF versions of our ebooks up on booklocker.com because a lot of people prefer that
just
format.
Read your PDF. Yeah. Yeah. So then, we would upload that to Amazon for you. So once you're in our system, you're in our Amazon account.
We don't just put them on Amazon.
No. They will take it away. Go ahead.
We put the ebooks up on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Apple, Kobo, which is Canada's popular ebook retailer. Also, Overdrive, which sells ebooks to thousands of libraries and schools.
Lots of squirrels like our books, too. They do.
Schools worldwide. I've seen it. And also Google Play.
Squirrel schools. Sorry. I gotta mess with you.
Oh, man.
Well,
one other thing. Mm-hmm. BookLocker pays among the highest royalties in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some of the lowest fees in the industry for our prices. So
we do, and we have comparison. We got pages on Writers Weekly that compare our prices to others, and we can get into why we're able to do that another day.
Yeah.
But we do have some of the lowest prices in the industry,
and the highest royalties. Yeah,
and highest royalties. So
okay. So what are the limitations on Amazon's audiobooks with virtual voice program?
Okay, well, first you have to assume that not every book is going to make a good audiobook. Now, like an extreme example would make a math textbook. I think everybody understands that. You don't want to sit there and listen to an AI voice read math problems to you.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know. However, Amazon lists a few items that let you know if your book won't work with the program. So you can't have any fixed format ebooks. They have to be free flow, mm-hmm. I believe, ebooks. If you don't know what that is, that's okay because we do know what that is.
Yeah, I can give an example. We published a very technical book that it had, you know, multiple columns, several references, footnotes, citations, images, and that book just did not work in EPUB format. Meaning EPUB, you know, it flows, you know, just, you know, if. Okay, so you have a Kindle ebook reader, and I have a Kindle book reader, and you like to read your ebooks at Arial 12 point, and I like my font to be Bookman Old Style 11 point. Mm-hmm. So your ebook experience is going to be a little different than mine because, like, more words are going to fit on my page than yours. So EPUB format allows that free flowing text and even images, you know.
And there are other brands of ebook readers out mm-hmm. there other than the Kindle and the Fire and stuff like that. So your files, when you build an ebook, they have to be able to work with all these different types of readers. And
right.
So that's why you have to have a free flow.
Right.
File.
So the fixed format ebook that we recently did it. It just cannot be a free-flowing ebook. Yeah. It's just never going to work. So that would not be eligible. Oh, what else?
Photo books, cookbooks, heavy graphic layouts. You know, if you like a cookbook, you know, recipes are written in a certain way, and there's certain spacing between everything, and it's that's something that may not work very well with number one with ebook, and secondly with somebody trying to read it all out to you.
Well, think about, you know, you have a recipe next to you in the kitchen. And by the way, Brian has a binder of all of my favorite recipes. He prints them all out and puts them in there. You don't want to sit there and listen to somebody 3/4 cup flour, One teaspoon salt. Who's going to remember that by the time, you know, do you pause the ebook, the audiobook between every ingredient? No. So, yeah, that explains why that
won't work. One author that I'm back and forth with right now, we're trying to come up with maybe a solution for his book, but it's very possible this book won't even work. But he's kind of, I think he's an economist. I'm really not sure. But he's got a book out that has a lot to do with some theories on the economy and how we can change things to make it all better. You know, I don't know anything about that stuff. But yeah. I do know his book is absolutely filled with graphs and bar graphs and statistics. And, every one of these is like a picture of it's, you know, okay, you're looking at a graph.
Not going to work for audiobook.
It's not going to work because if your information is dependent on these pictures that people have to look at
visuals.
And study,
yeah.
It's not going to work for an audiobook because they're just going to be reading all of your data that you're throwing out at people without if they need that visual
aid
to understand it, it's going to be very difficult. Yeah. So I'm talking to him about how we, you know, whether or not we can work with this.
I think it might work as an ebook. It'll never work as an audiobook.
Yeah. Well,
audio's for your ears.
Yeah.
Visuals for your eyeballs.
Yeah.
So anything in your book that really requires eyeballs to look at it is your book. And unless you want to put a change in your ebook and say reference my website such and such to see this picture, then it's just not going to work.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No books that are already on Audible, even if it was an earlier edition of the book.
Yeah, that's going to create duplicates in their system, and that's
and they don't want that.
If your book's already on Audible,
unless you republish
the book under a different ISBN,
and
I mean
remove it from
different
everywhere.
Title.
Yeah.
It's going to change the title, but Amazon's system has a way of picking up duplicates. Files.
Yes, they do.
Even if you change the title, so.
Right now it's English and Spanish books only. Again, I'm sure that will change over the years as things are getting better. No books longer than 240,000 words. A 300-page book is usually around 80K to 100K. Words, so most books will fall into that.
Yeah, I had a couple authors write to me and say, how many words in my book? And so I pull up their file, and both of them are way below the 240,000 word range. Yeah. That's a big book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you still have the Word file that you use to write your manuscript or go back and if you went back and forth with us or another publisher to get that formatted, once you had that final format, if you pull it up on Word, it'll give you a word count.
True.
So it'll tell you how many, but you can always ask us. So
yeah. And if your book is ginormous, you can break it into different parts, you know.
That's right. Same book, part one, part two.
Yep.
There you go.
Right. Yeah.
And the book's title has to be under 200 characters.
Yeah, that might be. Well, you just.
I've run into some books that that definitely are over 200 characters. Yeah, some people think that paragraph of a subtitle is just really, really, really important for their cover. So
that's right. Just remove the subtitle. So what, Brian? What are some other things authors need to know?
All right. Well, some of this is just going to be a recap. So, you know, a lot of the voices are really excellent. I'm surprised. Some of them aren't as great, and that's why there's plenty of options for you to choose from. We're offering our authors the excellent ones, at least the ones we think are excellent. And there are different accents. Again, you can get American English, Southern American English, Australian English, and British English. Mm-hmm. They're available in male and female voices. And it's far easier and less expensive if one voice narrates the entire book. In fact, the vast majority of audiobooks only have one book narrowing throughout. Now, there's
narrating.
What did I say?
You said narrowing.
Well, sometimes they narrow. Yeah, narrating throughout.
I actually Googled that, and the vast majority of audiobooks have one voice for the entire book, and readers are perfectly happy to accept that.
That's what narration is. Yeah. Once you start throwing different voices in, now you're almost like acting, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're acting out the situation.
That's expensive.
Now, there is an option to have different voices narrate each chapter, but it requires tech work on our end, and we would have to charge people for that. On an hourly rate.
And I would, again, strongly encourage authors to go with the simple, quick program now.
Yeah.
And if you sell enough copies to make it worth your while to have us add extra voices later, then go for it. But I'm all about saving money.
Yeah, we're not sure
it works.
Yeah, we're doing this because we believe in what we've seen.
Yeah.
We believe in the program. We're not here to stuff our pockets. So we're going to try to talk you out of something that's going to cost you a bunch more money. And adding a second, having two different voices, three different voices read your book, that's going to be a lot of money.
It's going to be a lot of money, and it's not going to lead
and
to
I don't
more
think
readers.
It's going to necessarily sell more books.
Yeah, no. I don't think it is
nope.
either. I can't tell you how many times over the years, thousands of times, I have talked authors off a ledge who were about to spend a ton of money for something that they did not need. One in particular, he's about to pay to get his book edited for a fourth time.
Wow.
And because he hires an editor, they fix it. And I saw the first three manuscripts. They look great. And then he decides to make a bunch of changes after it's been professionally edited. And he reintroduces more errors. And I begged him, stop making changes. The book looks great. Put it on the market. He just can't help himself. He's going to end up spending $15,000, $18,000 in the end on editing, and that he only needed the first edit.
Yeah, well, we've had authors like that that'll spend 2 years changing a book over and over and over and over and over again, and they spend an astronomical amounts.
Yeah.
And even though we tell them, if sooner or later you got to put the book on the market, how about now?
Yeah.
You know, and they just keep, well, I want to change this. Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Now, since this is AI, again, it's operating from a computer. It's ones and zeros. It doesn't think for itself. So if your book contains any foreign words or ones that the AI has a hard time with, like unusual names, then there might be some mispronunciations. And if those are unacceptable to you, you need to make a list of those and send those to us so that we can make the manual updates to the file.
Yeah.
We're able to change the pronunciation of most words. And we have to, got to get in there and spell them phonetically for the system. And then since every book is different, some are going to come out completely clean, while some are going to have some problems. And again, I have yet to have an author come to me with that. So
yeah, nobody's
so
not one change requested. That. Yeah, that's fantastic.
But they put that option in there for a reason. So I'm assuming even Amazon knows. Yeah, this thing ain't perfect. So okay. And we are during our beta phase, we're charging $50 per hour with a 1 hour minimum for those edits.
Yeah.
So it's important that if we do your audiobook, sit down and listen to that whole audiobook, make a list of each of these mispronunciations or whatever you have a problem with, so that I can go in and just immediately target each one of these and fix them rather than having to go searching for a bunch of stuff. And then you come back a week later, oh, I found more, and then we got to charge you another fee. It's best you try to get cram everything into that hour that you can. So
again, nobody has requested even one change.
Not yet.
They're loving their audiobooks. Right. Yeah, they're coming out great. Traditional audiobooks have been notoriously expensive because of production cost. I remember seeing audiobooks for sale on CDs, at like Barnes & Noble and Borders, and they were always priced so high.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, well, there's this print book and there's this, disc. Why is a disc $45 and the print book's $13.99?
Now we know how much work went into that disc.
Yep.
Yeah.
Things have changed. So Amazon has price ranges for audiobooks. Low and high. So what are those?
The lowest you can price your audiobook is $3.99, and the highest you can price it is $14.99.
That's $3.99.
Yeah, $3.99. $14.99. I'm sorry. That's so that on the low end, they're making sure that, nobody's losing money on this book. And on the high end, they're making sure that you're not pricing it so high and nobody's going to buy it. Because Amazon wants to sell your book too. They're getting a piece of this.
Yeah.
So that is extremely reasonable.
Absolutely.
That's easy for anybody who really wants to listen to your book. So price will not be an issue. Angie, what do you tell authors who are completely against AI voices?
I had a guy contact me a couple weeks ago. It was after we launched the soft launch. And it was someone who had previously pitched audiobook services to us. And this is different from the guy I was talking about earlier with the cardboard box. Okay. Mm-hmm. he has approached me several times over the years offering, hey, are you launching your audiobook show? Yeah, I want to be a narrator for your authors. And he got the email that Allie sent to him that she sent to the people who'd mentioned audiobooks. And he wrote to me, he was very upset. He said, you're going to make it very hard for people like me to stay in business. And I'm like, well, how many books have you narrated so far besides your own? He said, none. I'm like, you're not in business.
And I'm sorry, but
I am not, just because you're one of my authors, I'm not going to refer one of my other authors to you and you're going to charge him $4,000 when I can give him the same, actually better service for $199.
And if we weren't embracing new technology when it comes out, we mm-hmm. wouldn't be in business.
Right. That's true.
You know, we do print on demand. Now, I guess we could do the old fashioned type of printing where, you know, if anyone's still doing it, where you got to, you know, buy and save up a warehouse full of books that you want to sell.
Honestly, I think only newspapers even use that technology anymore. Even traditional publishers use print on demand.
But there was a time, there was a choice, and you went with the choice of going print on demand. You order a book, they print you one book, they ship you one book. Mm-hmm. Nobody has to store books. If you're an author, that's a great thing. Because you can order as many books or as few books as you want to, or just tell people order them straight from Amazon, they go straight to their house.
Yeah, right.
You know, and that was a new technology that mm-hmm. some people weren't sure if that was going to work, but it did.
Yeah.
You know, and when there's a technology that we see and we look at it and study it and we say this looks like something good, then we're gonna go for it. And mm-hmm. you're right. This is probably gonna, you know, eventually this is gonna put some people out of work. You know.
Yeah, but honestly, if that person was charging the same price, then I wouldn't, you know, but thousands and thousands of dollars, people just can't afford that.
I get it. You know? Yeah, I get it. I mean, hey, eventually there weren't any more wagon wheel makers.
Doesn't Uncle Lars in town sell wagon wheels?
Well, yeah, but those are decoratives.
And the fact is, most of us are used to AI voices now. Some of us don't even know it.
Sometimes you don't even realize when you're listening to an AI voice.
Like,
yep.
Took you halfway through that. Yep. Yeah. You know, you hear them on YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, even on some podcasts. They're AI generated. You know, as a book lover, I myself would rather listen to an audiobook with an AI voice that costs $3.99 as opposed to needing to spend a lot more because the production cost of the audiobook was so high. And again, the quality is so much better than it was just even a year ago. So, I mean, the answer's right there. People want to spend $4,000 or more, be my guest, but it's just not necessary anymore.
Yep.
Yep.
And we would love to hear your thoughts on audiobooks and AI being used for audiobooks. This is something that I'm sure not everyone's going to agree on, but mm-hmm. you know, I'd love to hear what people's thoughts are on this. So don't forget to go to writersweekly.com/podcast, find this episode, go down to the bottom of the page as you're listening to it on Writers Weekly, and give us your comments. Let us know what you think.
Yeah. And we'll have links to everything we discussed here under that episode, including the page on BookLawr that explains exactly how our program works.
And if you've got a book you've been working on and you're wondering, gee, who should I have publish that book? Well, you've got many, many options out there, and about a half of them are scammers.
In Pakistan,
that will take your money and never give you a book. Mm-hmm. So come on over to booklawr.com, see what we've got to offer. And if you got any questions, you just click our contact button and you'll be talking directly to Angela. Well, you're not going to be talking to her. You're going to be emailing.
Yeah, all those messages come to me.
Yeah, because I'm not going to loan her out to talk to you guys all day long. That's not going to work. But you'll be emailing directly to Angela, and she'll answer any questions that you have. And now we have the ability to make your book into an audiobook. So that will boost your audience. There are a great number of people out there right now that are not buying print books mm-hmm. because they don't have the time, they don't have the attention span, they don't want to sit and read a book. Once you get it into audiobooks format, you're going to just make more sales because there's just more people that are going to listen to the book rather than read it. So this is an exciting opportunity for our authors, for new authors. So come aboard, join us here at the ground floor, because I can see the prices for this only going up over time.
Well, again, it's $199 right now. And we're giving all of our authors a chance to jump on that price first.
We're kind of at an experimental phase, but once we get this into a lean, mean,
but it's,
you know, well-oiled machine,
you're getting them up pretty quick.
Yep,
I'm shocked because I get emails when they go up, and I'm like, God, a guy just signed up 2 days ago, and Brian's already got his audiobook up. It's incredible. Yeah. You're doing a great job.
So now's the time to take advantage of this.
Yeah.
Jump in.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for today. So I hope you all learned a little something. And, you know, even if you don't want to do an audiobook, that's fine. Hope you got something out of this. So we will be seeing. Angela, you got anything final to say to folks?
Hello. Hello. You say goodbye.
And I say hello. And
you were supposed to say goodbye.
Oh, goodbye.
We're done. Goodbye.
Oh, I'm sorry. And if you know the name of that song, tell Angela what it is. Okay. All right. So that's it for the Writers Weekly podcast.
Yeah,
we are going to see you again next time on the Writers Weekly podcast.
Goodbye.
You say goodbye, but I say hello. Bye.
Goodbye. You say yeah.